3 o'clock.
Okay, then, so we're on page Kuf Nun Beis, and we're discussing a structure which we started last time, and that's called Bitul Otoli V'Omed, otherwise known in English as suspension or nullification. Suspension meaning temporary blockage. Let's say, for example, you have a chiyuv, but right now you're prevented from fulfilling, from implementing that chiyuv. You have no ability to implement the chiyuv. That's called toli v'omed. That's called suspension. It's temporarily suspended. And the other way of saying it is that no, that the chiyuv doesn't get off the ground. It's completely
that's
null and void.
Not want
exactly. Huchat techuya is what we talked about a matir. And, you know, you could relate it to this for sure, but right now we're focused on a chiyuv. Meaning, let's say, for example, what we're discussing now is the case of tzitzis on a beged shel pishtan. And even though on a Doraisa level we say esei dochalosaseh, and kalayim is dochuyetzel tzitzis, but nevertheless the Rabbanan said don't wear it. Don't put tzitzis on a beged of pishtan. They're afraid that maybe you'll wear it at night, and then there's no mitzvah tzitzis, so therefore you'll violate the sekalayim.
They say shevyatas, not shevyatas.
Oh, that's interesting. Yeah. So what we want to focus now on page Kuf Nun Beis, you'll see on the right side it says Gimel. And okay. This is a Sefer Eshkol.
Mm-hmm. It was a Rishon.
Yeah. But it doesn't look like you're on the right page. Kuf Nun Beis.
Oh, I thought you said
sorry, Kuf Nun Beis. I meant to say Seif Gimel. So if you're on Kuf Nun Beis, it's on the right column of Kuf Nun Beis.
Oh, gotcha.
It's the second major paragraph. So the Sefer Eshkol says that in our time, once the Chachamim said not to put tzitzis on a beged shel kelayim, meaning not to put tzitzis of tzemer onto a beged of pishtan, even though it has four knafos, it has four corners. Yeah. So what would happen if, let's say, he went ahead and he wore such a beged with tzitzis on it? Do we say that he's in violation of the law of kalayim, or do we say no? On a doraisa level, he fulfilled the mitzvah of tzitzis because tzitzis is docha kalayim. The Rabbanan, they waived him of his responsibility to put on tzitzis, and Would we have an essay here to be docha the lotas? That would depend upon our two definitions. If what we're saying is that really he's chayiv in tzitzis, because the Torah says he's chayiv in tzitzis, and he has the mitzvah of tzitzis, but the Rabbanan said, don't implement the mitzvah of tzitzis, then if he went ahead and he fulfilled the mitzvah of tzitzis, that's enough to be docha kalayim. But if on the other hand we're going to say that what the Rabbanan did was they were able to completely remove, we call it nullification, to nullify the entire mitzvah of tzitzis in this case, then there's no kiyuma mitzvah to be docha alosas. That's the way Rabbi Chanan understood this.
Is this the same?
Does Rabbi
Chanan the same koach? Yesh koach lechacham in lakot.
Correct. This is all based on yesh koach biyad chav lakot dovenatot. Very, very, very well said. Now, Rabbi Chanan says that how far did we go with this Yesh Koach Biyad Chachamim? Are we going as far as to say that Chachamim were completely oker the mitzvah? That's what we call nullification. Or we say no, the Chachamim say that the mitzvah still remains, but you're not meant to implement the mitzvah. Like you say, Shevi Altas. And the Nafkamina would be if he went ahead against the Chachamim and he wore this beged, would there be a key of mitzvah tzitzis such that it would be docha the lav of kalayim? So, for example, would he be chayv malchus for wearing kalayim? If you say that the rabbanan were able to be oker the mitzvah completely nullify the mitzvah, then there's no mitzvah to be docher kalayim, and he would get malchus.
Tell me if I'm way off base. If a guy comes along, a brother-in-law, and he has a relationship with after his brother is deceased with no children, he has relationship, even though the chachamim say don't do it, do a chalitza. Right, v'zman hazeh, chalitza.
Right.
Is he mekayem mitzvah yibum?
I would think yes, but maybe it should depend.
It would be totally the same thing.
Maybe it'd be totally. Let's just think it out. If you hold like that day of the Sefer Eshkol that you would not be chayv malchus for wearing kalayim mitzitzes because you fulfill at least the mitzvah doraisa, then for sure in this case of yibum, I would say he fulfills the mitzvah doraisa of yibum. Now, let's go according to the other tzad. You see, in the case of Kalayim B'tzitzis, because Chachamim were afraid in this Beged Shel Pishtan that he'll wear it at night, then it's quite possible that they, if they have the authority to do so, they completely nulled and voided the mitzvah of tzitzis, and he would get malchus. I don't think that that's true in the case of Yibum.
Well, Yibum, they're afraid that a guy has wrong
kavanas and whatever it is. Right? But I don't know that they completely eradicated, you know, nullified the mitzvah of Yibum. But definitely it could come under. And any case where the Chacham told you don't fulfill a mitzvah, for whatever reason, then you could always ask on a Doraisa level, does he still obtain the mitzvah?
All those mitzvahs where we say Shemi Yavirin Dalar Al Amot Rishut Rabbi.
Yeah, so let's say
Tekiya Shofar B'Shabbat.
Right, he made a bracha on Tekiya Shofar B'Shabbat. Would that be a bracha of Atola? If you hold that the Doraisa remains in place, just the Chacham preventing you from implementing it, then you made a bracha on a mitzvah Doraisa. If on the other hand, the Chacham were able to completely undermine and be mavata, neutralize the mitzvah, then you made a bracha levatola. So that's what he has over here. He tells an interesting story. He says that when Rabbi Elchanan came up with this chakira, he asked Rabbi Chaim, and Rabbi Chaim Brisker, his Rebbe, said something a little different. He wants to say that it could be that everybody agrees that the mitzvah shel Torah remains in place. The machlokas here, the two deis in the Eshkol, revolves around something else. And that is when you have a kiyum ha-mitzvah without a chiyuv ha-mitzvah, meaning that chachamim clearly are not able to completely undermine the mitzvah. What they are able to do is create a p'tur, because yesh koch b'yad chachamim. So he says the machlokas is, now once chachamim have a p'tur, and this would apply in general when you part from a mitzvah, what happens if you go ahead and fulfill the mitzvah? In other words, you do it voluntarily. Is that enough to be docha losase? And that's a sugya unto itself, which is not for us, but would an essay kiyumis, as we said, which is a mitzvah of a kiyum, would that override a losase? Now, what Rabbi Chaim understood was clearly that if he's mekayim the mitzvah of tzitzis in this case, although he's not obligated to do so, he obtains a kiyum mitzvah. That less mind the pollock, says Rabbi Chaim. That was never an issue. But whether or not that would be enough to be docha the losas of kelayim, that was the essential issue, the two deis in the Sefer Eshkol. Now, what has the power to be docha losas? Is it the chiyuv essay, or is it enough to have a kiyum essay? You know, Rav Chaim is very famous, and we've discussed it in the past, to make a differentiation between a chiyuv and a kiyum. So, for example, according to this Rav Chaim, noshim, women in mitzvah seishas mind grom, would you say essay docha losas or not? It should depend on these two days in the Eshkol. Because if you're going to argue that when a woman fulfills a mitzvah, Seishas Mind Grom, she has a kiyum mitzvah, if we assume like that, Reveni Tam, so then maybe that kiyum mitzvah is enough to be docha losase. But if on the other hand you say, like the Eshkol, that once the Rabbanan removed the mitzvah of tzitzis in the case of a Beged Shel Pishtan, there's no essay docha losase, and you get malchus for kalayim in such a case, meaning that the Rabbanan, what the Rabbanan did was they left the mitzvah as a mitzvah kiyumis without a chiyuv, and a chiyuv and a kiyum is not enough to be docha losase. Then also in the case of women in Zman Grama, that would not be enough to be docha losase. Okay, now at this point we want to turn to page Kuf Nun Dalet. Okay then?
Kuf Nun Dalet.
So if you have page Kuf Nun Dalet, what we got up to last time.
Did you make copies? I don't have.
You don't have Kuf Nun Dalet?
No, I don't.
All right, so I don't know what you have, what you don't have.
I have to up to Kuf Nun Gimel.
Okay, so we'll make a copy of Kuf Nun Dalet, but till we make it the copy, so listen if you can, John Balper, because he quotes here. Now I just want to show you where we're up to on the left column. If you count down four lines, he has an Orza Rua.
Four lines from?
From the top on the left column.
Orza Rua.
You'll see the words Orza Rua on the fourth line. Okay. So the Orza Rua raises the following question. He's talking about yeshiva students who are studying Torah, and a mitzvah comes by, but it's what's called Efshal Lekaima Al Yidei Acherim. So normally we stop Talmud Torah for the sake of a mitzvah, but that's only if it's impossible to accomplish that mitzvah.
Al Yidei Acherim.
If it's impossible, then for sure, Mevatlin Talmud Torah for all mitzvahs. That's the purpose of mitzvahs, right? So you have to. What I meant to say was that's the purpose of Talmud Torah, to prepare you for the mitzvahs. But let's say this mitzvah could be accomplished by someone else. Then the student of Torah is mandated to continue his study of Torah. And he talks about. I'm not sure exactly where the Gemara is, he doesn't tell you. About Rabba Bar Rav Huna and Rav Chisda, apparently. Anyway, two Amoraim were on their way to study Torah, and they now had the mitzvah. Let's say all of a sudden it was daybreak. At that point, it was daybreak, and with daybreak, they become obligated in the mitzvah of tzitzis or the mitzvah of tefillin. And the halacha is that at this point, he says, I'm not sure. I see. He tells you where to look it up. It's in Sukkah on Daf Chav Vav Amud Aleph. Okay, right now I don't have the Gemara in Sukkah. But basically, here's what he says for our purposes. He says that we paskin like Rabbeinu Tam as far as Nashim, meaning that a woman can make a bracha on a mitzvah say Shazman Groma. And therefore, they take on the mitzvah of Tkiyah Shofar, for example, as a time bound mitzvah, they can take it upon themselves, and therefore they can make a bracha. He even goes as far as to wonder whether they could blow on behalf of a man. Mm-hmm. Okay, that itself is an issue. Yeah, give that to Yehud if you don't mind.
Thank you.
If you can,
I'm the only one.
You know, you're going to be my shliach to find this Gemara. Yeah, but again. The important thing, I'll tell you what it is, Rabosai, because we only meet twice a week, I have a lot of material to cover. So that you'll accept my apologies if we can't look up every single sugya, because I'm interested in the conceptual structure. We want to learn a Derech HaLimud here. Mm-hmm. So the Derech HaLimud is, would a student of Torah, who at this point is part of a mitzvah, let's say it's Efshali Deacherim, whatever the case might be, or, for example, it's not a mitzvah veres, and he could postpone the mitzvah. And he went ahead and he fulfilled the mitzvah, even though he was potter. And the Oz Arua wants to know, would he be making a bracha on such a mitzvah? And he equates it with Rabbeinu Tam as far as Noshim, the mitzvah seishas man grom. And basically, according to the Oz Arua, to the same extent that Rabbeinu Tam allows a woman to make a bracha on his mind, grama, even though she's not obligated, but based on the voluntary nature of the mitzvah, that itself is enough to justify the bracha, which means that Asher Kidshanu Mitzvosav Vitzivanu, the Vitzivanu is somehow going on Klal Yisro, or whatever. So the same thing says the Arzarua, if you're parted from a mitzvah, in this case he happens to be dedicating himself to Torah study, and the mitzvah could be done by someone else, or later on he could postpone it, but he decides he's going to stop his Torah study, he's going to fulfill the mitzvah. He says he can make a bracha in such a case. Just like Rabbeinu Tam allows you to make a bracha on a mitzvah seh shazman grom, it means that the mitzvah still exists, even though he's not obligated in the mitzvah.
Exactly.
Why is he exempt from the mitzvah? Because he's osek b'mitzvah, in this case it happens to be Talmud Torah, that's a very common case. But nevertheless, he does obtain the mitzvah, and the bracha is chal on the kiyum mitzvah, just like Rabbeinu Tam has it in Nosh.
Why isn't that a mitzvah of Avera?
Oh, so if y'all like the Ritva that we discussed at great length yesterday, the Ritva says that once you're osik b'mitzvah X, it's also to pick up. It's not that the Torah exempted you and said, you know what, you're busy with the first mitzvah, you're not chayav the second. No. The Torah says that if you are involved in a mitzvah, then there's no other chiyuv that would be chal on you. You're like a gavra la bar chiyuva. In fact, the Ritva says the other mitzvah that he does by dropping the first mitzvah is called Dvar Rishus, and he says it's Asur. He's not allowed to do that. So according to the Ritva, for sure, if these Talmidim were Osek B'Talmud Torah in such a way that they're part of an mitzvah in those cases, in those scenarios, then the Ritva would argue that it's Asur to drop Talmud Torah for the sake of the other mitzvah. I don't think he would justify a brach on that because it's like a Dvar Rishus. But those who disagree with the Ritva and say that Osek B'mitzvah is only a Ptur, we call it a temporary suspension, but it's not, it doesn't negate the mitzvah, then you could even make a brach on it according to the Orzeru, based on the Rabbeinu Tam. Now, for those who disagree with Rabbeinu Tam and Noshim, because they hold that a mitzvah kiyumus is not vitzivana, you can't recite a bracha, then clearly here, in the case of Osik v'mitzvah, potter in a mitzvah, you can't make a bracha. But the only point that we wanted to get out of this Orzeru is that he seems to belong to that camp that applies the principle of toli v'yomed, as we call it, suspension, that right now, the second chiyuv, in this case it was tefillin, tzitzis, whatever it might be, is in suspended animation. Meaning the chiyuv is not there. He's osik b'mitzvah, he's part. But the mitzvah still exists. We never undermine the mitzvah. Just like we saw in the Sefer Eshkol, that in a case of beged shel pishtan, and he went ahead and he wore tzitzis, even though the Rabbanan exempted him from tzitzis, but nevertheless it would be docha the losaseh. So the Rabbanan, applying their authority of yesh kof v'yad chamlaka, they only exempt you from the mitzvah, so don't implement the mitzvah. That's called a temporary blockage or barrier, but the ikar chiyuv still exists, and therefore esei docha lo saseh. So too, in the same vein, the Orzeru allows you, even though you're parted from the mitzvah, to make a bracha on that mitzvah based on Rabbeinu Tam, that you can make a bracha on a mitzvah kiyuvis. And this leads us to page Kuf Nun Hei. So what you're looking at on page Kuf Nun Hei is the right column, and the paragraph that starts Beis, Ayin B'machaber. Okay? Now, this discussion that we're about to embark upon is very similar, and in fact in Os Gimel it's almost identical to the discussion that we had yesterday about Tashlumin and Tefillah. It means that if you were obligated a mitzvah and you did not fulfill it, like for example the case of Tefillah and the Zman Tefillah passed, then the Halacha gives you a second chance. Wow. And that's called Tashlumin. So you can, within a certain framework and restrictions, you're allowed to make it up. But if on the other hand you would never chayv to begin with, then we don't give you a Tashlumin because there's no need for a Tashlumin. Tashlumin only is meant to replace a chiyuv that was not fulfilled. But if there was never a chiyuv, then there's no need for Tashlumin. And the classical case of that would be an Onen, who buried his dead the following morning. So at night he didn't have Mayruv, or he didn't make Avdolah if it was Motzi Shabbos. There's no need for him to make up his Tefillas Arvis, because his Ptur completely removes the mitzvah of Tefillah. He's a Lav Bar Chiyuva. And apparently everybody agrees to this. This is Mefurish Lehej and Shulchan Aruch, in Yoredei and Hilchus Avelus, that an Onen does not come back from the Beis HaKvaros and daven two davenings. He'll have to daven that davening. Let's say if it was chakras, it'll be chakras. But he doesn't add the other tefillah. And that means that even those who would argue, for example, in Yesh Kof Yad Chachomim, that the Chachom could completely undermine the mitzvah, and he would not fulfill the mitzvah at all, and therefore you'd be chai for kalayim in that case. Or according to the other day of the Ritva in Osik Mitzvah, Potem Mitzvah, that the other mitzvah is completely gone, the second mitzvah, it's a reshus. And it's also to drop the first mitzvah for the sake of the other mitzvah. So what basically we're saying is that that there's one shita that applies the principle of bittul, which means that we are completely oker the chiyuv. Then we had another shita that said, you know what, the chiyuv, the mitzvah is there, but you're not able to, or I should say that you're not obligated, I should say, to implement that mitzvah. And if you go ahead and you do, you might be mekayim the mitzvah, and therefore there's one day that says in the Sefer Eshkol that you would not be in violation of kelayim. And then there's one day in Osik v'mitzvah, potter mitzvah, that would say that although you forfeited the first mitzvah, but you did mekayim the second mitzvah. And not only that, the Orzeru goes as far as to say you can make a brach on that second mitzvah. All those, that whole group, would agree in the case of Onen, apparently, that he's a lav bar chiyuva. Means he was never obligated in tefillah to begin with. The Drisha took a leap of faith And he went as far as to say that a person who is osek b'tzarchei tzibur, the Gemara talks about people who are involved in pidyon shvuyim, and they miss davening, says the Drisha, they don't have to make up that tefillah. There's no chiv tashlumin. And the Taz goes ballistic on this. The Taz says there's halacha that someone who is onus and he couldn't fulfill his obligation to tefillah, we give him a second option and he'll be mekayim tashlumin. It's not similar to the onen, says the Taz. In the case of the onen, he's a gavra lav bar chiyuv. That's what I call negation. We completely undermine the chiyuv. Masha'en came in the case of someone who's osek b'tzarchei tzibur. He's too busy to allow himself time to daven, but nevertheless the chiyuv tefillah is there. He cannot implement it, and he's parted from implementing it, but the mitzvah still hovers over his head, temporary blockage, as we said before, and therefore, once he gets the opportunity to fulfill that mitzvah through the mechanism called tashlumin, he'll have to daven a tefillah's tashlumin. And this I want to show you on page Kufnun Hey. If you'll take a look on the... First we'll go to the left side. I'm switching the order around. We'll do Gimel first and then go back to Beis. So what I'd like you to do is count up from the bottom of the left column. For the left column. Are you on the left column?
6, 7.
So count up about 15 lines or so. And he quotes a Rashba, the Rashba in Torah Sabayis, who says that Mi Shahaya Tarud... This person was tarred. In other words, somebody was how do you say in English, noges? You know, when you have a debtor who's pressing you to pay up your debts. Okay. There's a word for that. Anyway, so his debtor is, what do you call it, a creditor?
Yeah.
But which is the debtor and which is the creditor? I forget. Which is the malva, which is the loan? The creditor is the malva? Okay, yeah. So the creditor in this case is pressing the lova to pay up the chov. Mm-hmm. And if he doesn't pay up his chov, he's going to take a tremendous loss. So what they did was, they allowed him, in order to avoid the hefseg mamon, to let the zman tefillah pass, because he's so preoccupied. And the Torah Sabayis, the Rashba says, he's called an ones. It means that ones is not the same as the case of one, which is a la bar chiyuva. Ones means that basically he is obligated in this mitzvah full force. He cannot fulfill it and will waive his obligation, but the mitzvah is there. As soon as he gets his chance, he has to fulfill that mitzvah. In this case, through the mechanics of tashlumin.
Is that because he's busy with this mitzvah, or is it because they're afraid that he wouldn't be able to have kavana in tefillah?
He says he's mikri ones, means that he knows, because he says the Rashi writes, because of the hefseg mamon that he'll suffer is avar zman atfilah v'mikri ones. In other words, that even though it's because of a hefseg mamon, he's still considered ones. So the Taz wants to say this is absolutely against the Drisha. The Drisha wanted to say that anyone who is involved in something and therefore he's part of tefillah, he's completely exempt from tashlumin. Says the Taz, no. The point is that he cannot fulfill the mitzvah because he's preoccupied with another mitzvah, but he's chayv in the mitzvah of tefillah. And he says, okay, Mr. Adas Baal HaDrisha, if you want to see it inside, from the case of an onen, he says, there's no way that you can compare all these cases of an ones to the case of an onen. Now watch this. This is the Taz. See, the trouble with the Taz is that he was before Reb Chaim, meaning he had the same lomdus ahead as Reb Chaim, but he was before Reb Chaim, so he didn't have the lingo. You know what I mean? Reb Chaim was great at formulating the terminology, but if you take a look at the Taz, who was about two centuries and change before Reb Chaim, you'll see Reb Chaim, just that the Taz didn't have the lingo. Take a look. He says, "Ein ani don dom l'raya." There's no comparison between a person who couldn't fulfill the mitzvah of tefillah because he was preoccupied and the case of an onen. Why? He says, the dafka im aptur bo machmas dover acher. Dahainu shehu atzmo yochol ispalel belishum menia. In other words, what he's saying is that the case of an onen is where the person himself is eager, ready to daven. There's no problem in his davening. What he said?
It's
correct. Halacha comes along and says, then don't daven. That's one case. He says, in such a case, ha'avelus poteres also, the emo tashlumin, he doesn't, again, it's not that he doesn't have the, you know, the schus, the merit of tashlumin, we don't give him the availability, it means he's not chayv in tashlumin, he doesn't, don't bother with tashlumin. Why? He says, that's not different like the case of ones, because again, here in the case of avelus, he could daven, but we won't permit him to daven. Masha ain't came, but in the other cases where he's preoccupied with whatever, all the good things that he's doing, he says, there, he says, Masha ain't came up tur machmas tirda. What it means, tirda, is that he himself can't daven. And that's exactly what we're saying, that if the chiyuv mitzvah is there, but he's tarud, for whatever reason, he can't daven. Ein zeh karui. Now, here's where I think he falls short of Rav Chaim. In other words, he didn't have the right lingo. Because take a look at the language that he uses, which is very ambiguous. He says, in the case of Tirda, ein zeh karui, this is not classified as potur mitzad atzmo. In other words, it's something extraneous to his personal status that makes it impossible for him to daven. That's called Tirda. And that's a ptur which is not mitzad atzmo. Masha enken avelus is mitzad atzmo. No. Again, I'll tell you why it's lo barur. It's lo barur because it's lo barur. Right? That's exactly why it's lo barur. But we're going to try
another case.
Don't give me another case. Alan knows very well. I get very sensitive when you can't quote me other cases. Let me just survive this case, and then you'll ask me. No, what I want to do is I want to take a few minutes of your time because I'm interested also in the history a little bit of, you know, not just Derech Halim, but the history of Derech Halim. I have this magnum opus that I'm going to write, you know, I'm going to publish one day about the history of Derech Halim. So I'm very curious about this language that the Taz is using. I think the Taz is saying the following, just in Balabatish terms, and then I'm going to try to convert it into a Chaim's terminology, which he doesn't have. There are two situations. One situation where there's nothing extraneous that's preventing me from tefillah. There's no outside tirda that prevents me from davening. And therefore, the only way of explaining and justifying why I'm not davening is inside. He calls it machmas atzma. Then there's another case where he himself can't daven because of some sort of extraneous problem which is blocking him and making him tarud, and therefore he can't daven. And that's not machmas atzmo, that's machmas dover acher. It's like, I'll give you an example. The Gemara says that sometimes if I sell you something, the sale is invalid. That's called machmas atzmo. Other times there's a tenai. And I made a tenai in a condition, that condition wasn't fulfilled. That's mashmas dover acher. That's already extraneous to the kinyan. Everything in the kinyan was perfect, but there was a tenai, and the bitul tenai blows up the kinyan. Here also, he's saying the following, that if I'm tarud because of something extraneous to me, that's like a tenai. A tenai is dover acher, it's not mashmas atzmo. Then we have something where I'm ready to daven. You know, I'm all eager to daven, so to speak. I don't mean psychologically, I mean say I'm fit to daven. But the halacha says, don't daven. That, in the language of the Taz, is machmas atzmo. Now, why should that make a bit of a difference, right? Who cares whether it's machmas dover acher or machmas atzmo? So what I thought is that Rav Chaim would use a different terminology. Machmas atzmo means that we have a chance, a possibility of classifying this person as a gavra lav bar chiyuva. If there's an extraneous tirda that prevents me from davening, I'm a gavra bar chiyuva. There's no reason in the world to tell me I'm not a gavra bar chiyuva. El what? There's something preventing me from implementing the chiyuv. That's already not machmas atzmo. That's machmas dover acher.
Temporary.
No, again, I don't know if I want to use the word temporary, because again, that's going to confuse me. I don't care whether it's permanent, temporary, this way or that way. All I'm asking is the person ready to daven? Or are we saying that there's something extraneous that's preventing him from davening? Do you follow? So it works like this. If there's something extraneous preventing him from davening, then there's no reason why I should change his status vis-a-vis the chiyuv. That's called machmas dover achir in the Taz's language. Mm-hmm. And that's what we want to call a separate p'tur, which means that he cannot implement his chiyuv, but the chiyuv is there. Mm-hmm. In order to undermine the chiyuv and say it doesn't exist, which we call negation, we need to change the status of the individual. That's called machmas atzmo. To say that his status is such that he's not a bar chiyuva. And if he's not a bar chiyuva, there's no mitzvah of tashlum.
Sorry, I don't know if I'm getting it or not, but it sounds to me, this could be what we're saying. When he says machmas atzma, take an example where he's got to daven, he can't because the halacha says his name and he can't daven this case. The machmas atzma is the atzma of the mitzvah's tefillah. The outside thing is interfering with the actual mitzvah, not necessarily with
him. I see.
So you're saying it
could be extraneous in both cases. It's outside. But the question is, does that outside factor change the laws of tefillah?
It's attacking the mitzvah on the mitzvah A, rather than opposed to himself.
It's attacking the mitzvah itself, not the person.
I'm wondering, is that...
So if it's extraneous, that's creating tirda.
That's him person, not the mitzvah.
Oh, I see. So therefore, the mitzvah still exists.
And but we
see. Let me think about what you're saying. This might be interesting. Right? I'm not sure if the Taz meant this, but this could be a fresh start. That whatever tirdus you have, that doesn't change the mitzvah itself. Masha ein kein in onen. What we're saying is that the avelus has an impact on mitzvahs, because that's the nature of aninus. Aninus says that you're. I don't know if that's what he means, but maybe. Let me think if I can put that into the words. I'm just curious. He's saying that in the case of Aninus, I don't think that's what he means. No, I'll tell you why. Because I think his emphasis, Machmas Atzmo, is on the fact that he himself has no problem davening, as opposed to the case of Machmas Dover Acher, where that prevents him from davening. That's what I think. I don't know, maybe he's saying what you said. I don't know. You take a look in the text and see. You should know that the Shach wrote an entire work in order to defend whoever the Taz was attacking against the Taz's onslaught. That was his purpose. It's called the Nekudas HaKesef. Do you remember this from your old smicha days? And sometimes the Nekudas HaKesef is even more lumpish and more challenging than the Shach himself. So naturally, the Shach comes to the defense of the Drisha. And he writes, Shehu, meaning the Taz, Tomal HaDrisha, this is on top of Kuf Nun Vav, V'lo Kasha Midi. Lo Kasha Midi, he says. Very strong language against the Taz. The Dafka be honest, Shechayev min ad-din. Ela mishum di onus hu potur is dina hachi. Av kshlo hoya chayv min adin klal potur. Wow. Beautiful pshat. Says in the Kudus HaKesef, if he's chayv min adin to daven, then it's tashlumin. But if the din itself paskins that he's not chayv, then there's no tashlumin. And it seems to me that he's willing to say that this situation of Osek B'Tzorchei Tzibur changes his status to that of a Lav Bar Chiyuva. That's how far he seems to be willing to go. And he says, Hilkoch be Osek B'Tzorchei Tzibur came to the Eino Chai of Klal Min Adin. He says, therefore, becomes Osek Mitzvah Potter Min HaMitzvah. And once he's Potter Min HaMitzvah, there's no need for Tashlumin. Masha Enkin, if he's manua, if he's prevented from implementing the mitzvah because of technical reasons, that's not because of the din, that's because of the mitzvahs. So it seems like the Shach is analyzing this from the perspective of din versus mitzvahs. So therefore, the Drisha is right 100% by equating Aninus with Osik B'Tzorchei Tzibur, because in both cases, the din is saying that he's potter. Once the din is he's potter, then there's no tashlum. When is there tashlumin? When there's a mitzvah, there's some problem that's physically preventing me from davening. I just simply can't get there on time. I'm laid up in bed. Or, what was the other case that we spoke about? Yeah, that he's busy paying up his debts, you know, and if he doesn't pay quickly, he's in deep trouble. So in all those cases, it's not that min adin he's potter, it's just he doesn't have the ability, and we'll recognize that he doesn't have the ability to implement his kliyah. I'm not sure if I accept the shach, because you could always argue against the shach that in all these situations where he's prevented, then the mevel the din says he's potter.
Oh, that's what I want.
That's, I don't know. He wants to say no. There's no din that says you're potter.
What I wanted to bring up was,
yeah, go ahead.
Was Hagi Ben Arzi, who was in Hesder, he was out all night with the chayalim. All night, comes back the next morning, he could hardly stand up, and the guys wanted a daven. They were up all night. He went over to, I don't know, Ravar, I don't know, and he says, "You got to, you're patur. If you've been up all night, running around, because you're running around the army,
so the question is, what if I'm Paschal and he's Chayav Tashlum?
I can't.
That's going to be Machlok Sataz in the shot. Would he be Chayav in Tashlum? So I will say, now I want to go back to the paragraph that we skipped, which is Kuf Nun Hey on the right side of the page, Os Beis. And he quotes the Machaber in Hilchus Matzah. So what happened? He was, what's the word I'm looking for? What's the opposite of lucid? What word am I looking for?
Foggy.
Not foggy,
usually,
but, you know, he was not working with a full deck. But what's the word I'm looking for?
Psychologically.
anyway.
Impaired.
Impaired, mentally impaired. So we'll call
him.
That's Nichpeh?
Nichpeh means he's a shoka. He thinks that, he thinks they're a shadim and that, you know, whatever it is. So he went ahead and he ate matzah. Kezayis matzah on Lil Pesach. The achkach nisrape. So you guessed it, was the Machabeg of the Paskin? He has to eat again. Chayev lechol achash in his pasht. And the Machabeg spells it out. See, l'osa achila. Right. Okay, so far so good. Now comes along the Mishnah Bura, again in Sima Tov Ayin Hey, and he writes, Vafuki Shomra Veda or Mishamra Mes. What happens if a Shomra Veda, who's part of an Amitzvah, while he's Osek in the Aveda, or certainly a Mishamra Mes, he went ahead and he ate matzah on Leil Pesach. Says the Mishnah Berurah, who gam came potur, he's in a sense like the case of the shota that we discussed before, who potur me call on mitzvahs, and he says, afil yochel l'kayim shneihem, right, because we paskin, if you remember, that also the mitzvah potur mitzvah applies, even if he could juggle both mitzvahs simultaneously. He says, "If ochal matzah," I'm just fast forwarding to the punchline, "asa yotze yidei chovasa," he has fulfilled his mitzvah. In other words, the Mishnah Berurah is setting up a contrast. Case A is the shota. Case B is osek b'mitzvah potur min ha-mitzvah. This is certainly against the Ritva. You remember the Ritva says that Osek Mitzvah Potter Mitzvah, he doesn't have another mitzvah. Correct, it's Divrei Rishus V'Yasur. So there's no way, no how that you can square this Mishnah Berurah with the Ritva, which is okay, because most of Rishonim reject the Ritva. They say Osek Mitzvah Potter Mitzvah is a temporary suspension, but the mitzvah is there. He shouldn't have done what he did, but he dropped mitzvah A and he went and he ate matzah. He's Yotzi Yidei Chovas Matzah. But then the Mishnah Berurah adds another one. And this really confuses me. He says, "Umikolakom misafakna mistapakna." I have a suffix. Im yochel levorech birchas al achilas matzah sher kitshav mitzvah sov, because he's not chayv in the mitzvah. Now, lechor rabosa, it seems to me, be monashah. If the Mishnah Berurah wanted to take a stand like the Ritva, that since he's Osek B'mitzvah, he's a Shomer HaVeil, he's a Shomer HaMes, he's part of the mitzvah in Gansen. So how can the Mishnah Berurah say that he fulfilled the Zechir by eating the matzah when he was part of? If on the other hand he says, not like the Ritva, like the other Rishonim, that Osek B'mitzvah, part of mitzvah is only a temporary alleviation of the Chiyuv, but the mitzvah is there, then why can't he make a bracha on that? Unless he rejects Rabbeinu Tam. Which Rabbeinu Tam do I refer to?
Even if it's
Nashim, it's a Seishma Groma. Now, let's assume we accept Rabbeinu Tam. that means that even if I'm parted from a mitzvah, I can make a bracha on the mitzvah. So he is parted from the mitzvah of matzah. He went ahead and he ate the matzah, despite his patur. And he was yotze in the mitzvah of matzah. He doesn't have to eat another kezayis. But a bracha I'm not sure about, says the Mishnah. Maybe he shouldn't be making a bracha. Why not? If you want to tell me he forfeits the mitzvah, like the Ritva would maintain, then I understand there's no bracha. And the Mishnah Berurah from one side of his mouth says he doesn't have to eat another kezayis matzah. From the other side of the mouth, he says, but maybe he shouldn't be making a bracha on that matzah. I don't know how to make sense out of this Mishnah Berurah.
Well, because I guess it's a suffix, and you wouldn't make a bracha on a suffix.
But again, you know, why does a woman make a bracha? Let's say an Ashkenazi woman makes a bracha on a mitzvah says my grandma. You're not going to tell me, but the Rambam disagrees with Rabbein and Tam, and there are other Chachmei Sfarad that disagree with Rabbein and Tam. But the answer is that we paskin like Rabbein and Tam. For Ashkenazios, that's fine. If you're a Sfaradiyah, so you don't make a bracha. Faradik Amaisa.
Yeah.
But the Mishnah Berurah is not writing his codification for the Sfaradim. I'll tell you why, because they wouldn't have accepted it anyway. So,
exactly.
Yeah. No, now the Sfaradim learn the Mishnah Berurah, but they only learn the Mishnah Berurah in order to argue with the Mishnah Berurah.
Oh, okay.
No, just joking. But what I mean to say is the Mishnah Berurah certainly accepted Rabbein Tam. He's not going to tell his wife not to make a bracha on shofar or sukkah or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
So then, why can't this person who is osik the mitzvah, right? He's a shomer hames,
right?
And while he's being shomer the mess, he eats a kezayis matzah. He didn't have to do so,
right?
Fine, says the Mishnah Berurah, he's yotze the mitzvah of matzah, but don't make a bracha on it. So why is Rabbeinu Tam allowing a woman to make a bracha? Because in the case of noshim, the bracha is chal because. She belongs to that group. Mashiach in here, he belongs to the group of potim in a mitzvah. Wait, maybe I get this right. Maybe what the Mishnah Berurah is saying, that even though Rabbeinu Tam makes a bracha on a voluntary mitzvah, that's because she's linking up to the chiyuv ha-mitzvah. But he's potim from a mitzvah since it's only him. Trying to make some sense of it, since it's a separate patur because he's busy with Shomer HaMes, is therefore. In other words, if you belong to the group that's chayav in the mitzvah, you have no right to fall back on that group in a case where you're part of it on mitzvah. In other words, the Noshim, according to Rabbeinu Tam, they can make a bracha on Zman Grom because since they don't belong to the to group A, where the chayav lies, they have a right to make a bracha by linking up to that group. But in a case where you belong to group A, then I have to ask you as an individual, are you chayv in the mitzvah or you're not chayv in the mitzvah? And if for whatever reason you are, despite your allegiance to that group, your membership in that group, you're a part of a mitzvah, then you can't make a bracha. Yeah, what I'm suggesting is the following. You're part of a mitzvah, right? So you have no right, the bracha was established as a birchas hachova, when you implement your chiv, but since you're not chayv, he can't make the broch. Otherwise, you're going to say that Yenom is chayv. He's chayv in the mitzvah because he's not watching the mess. That you have no right to do because your broch was established as a chovas gavra on you. In the case of an isha, we can never say that the broch was established as a chovas gavra on the isha. She never has a chovas gavra. So apparently, Rabbeinu Tam allows her to link herself up with the group called the mechuyoven, the mechuyoven b'dover. So that's a whole different halacha. There the bracha is for the fact that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, thank you for giving the mitzvah and the chovah to the group that's chayav in the mitzvah. We're no longer focused on the individual. She could never as an individual be chayav in the mitzvah. Masha Enkei, someone who belongs to the category, the group of people who are chayav in the mitzvah, then his bracha is established because of his chovah. Asher kitshorim it's also vitzivani. I'm going to say it like a glitziana. Vitzivani, right? I mean, that you have mitzvah of me. You understand? So now that you're potter, how could you make that bracha? She, on the other hand, in Zman Grom Kotubim, can make a bracha shet tzivanu, nu meaning the people of Israel as an entity. But in the case of a man, his bracha is because vitzivani, you know, I was obligated. If I'm not obligated, I can't make. I don't know. But I'm just pointing out the cash is better than the teretz.
Doesn't it also link into the concept of Noshim Yeshem Rishus? Noshim Seches Rishus? I mean, there's missing right. This man, once it's probably, it doesn't really have Rishus anymore.
Well, no, I'm saying, but that's what I'm saying, Daniel. If he doesn't have Rishus, then why is he Yotzi the Mitzvah? Meaning, I could have said the following, that just like a Shoter is outside of the parameters of the Chiyuv, so too the guy's Shomer Sames is outside the parameters of the Chiyuv. In fact, that's certainly what the Drisha and the Shach would have said in the case of Osek Mitzarkei Tzivu. That they don't have a Chiyuv Tashlum because they were outside the purview of the Chiyuv Tefillah. If I would apply that logic to the case of a Shomer HaMes, I could say that he's outside the purview of the Chiyuv. Gansa, the Chiyuv doesn't exist. He's a Labar Chiyuv. In that case, he's exactly like the Shota. And he would have to eat another Kizayis. Apparently, the Mishnah Brura has accepted La Locha, the other Shita. The Shita that would argue that even though you're busy with whatever mitzvah you're busy with, you still have the mitzvah. Albeit you're potter, but the mitzvah still exists. It's in temporary suspension, as we called it. And now if you went ahead and you fulfilled the mitzvah, you were Yotze. Mashenki Neshota, he's outside the purview of the mitzvah. But I'm just wondering, why does Mishnah Brura therefore at this point introduce a suffix, whether he can make a bracha or not? If you're saying he's within the purview of the mitzvah, you could say he's not chayav in the mitzvah. So how can he say Asher Kachon Mitzvonis Mitzivonim? But then I'll ask you, what about Noshim in Mitzvah Seishas Mani? Okay, here we're up to Kuf Nun Vav. Okay. Now we're talking about a principle called Ein Nishboim L'Kayim Es HaMitzvos. So a man takes a shvua that he won't eat nevela. Okay. So what happens with that shvua? There are two possibilities.
We say the English, but you know,
Right. So I'm asking, what happens with that shvua? You and I would have said, Yehuda, what we call, what was the word we used? Negation. Was that what the word we give? What does he call it? Sorry. He calls it beetle. You'll see it on the top of the page, actually. You see where he says beetle? So we had a different word for it. We call it nullification. Okay, whatever word you like, you take it. Oh. So the Mela, we would have said that shvua doesn't get off the ground, right? Okay. So here's the deal, Rav Osser. What happens? He took a shvua not to eat nevela. Now he became a cholish yesh bo sakana. So he has to eat nevela. What happens with the shvua? So you'll tell me, look, forget it, Rabbi Berzon. This whole discussion is totally irrelevant because if he's a cholesh yesh bo sakana, it's al zayin hazoy that he took a shvua, but he can violate every isin in the Torah, so he can certainly violate these shvua. So what are you hacking my chinix about? The question is, should he be shoel on the shvua? If we assume that we're dealing with nullification, he calls it bitul, which means that einish bayin al mitzvus means that the shvua is not chal to begin with, then there's no point to go through the exercise of futility of being shoel on the shvua. And yet, he quotes the Prima Gadim, and this is going to be on page Kuf Nun Zayin, on the right column, Vizel Shona Prima Gadim, it's on the right column towards the bottom, I'd say about 10 lines up. And basically, just to summarize the main point, the Prima Gadim says that he would have to be shoel on the shvua. Again, assuming he has he's lucid enough or there's enough time, you know, I'm not going to put his life in danger. But so we see for the Prima Gadim that he's not operating with negation. He's not saying the Shvur wasn't Chal. He's saying the Shvur can't be Chal because the Isa Nevela blocks the Shvur. As soon as you remove the Isa Nevela because he's a Chol Shesh Bal Sakana, is Memela, the Shvur will be Chal. So why should he violate the Shvur if he could just be Shoel on the Shvur? So Rabbi Adler points out here in the Sefer that basically the Prima Gadim is operating with a principle called Ein Iser Chalal Iser. And the Gemara says in Yevamis that Ein Iser Chalal Iser means that we can't give Malkus for the second Iser because Ein Iser Chalal Iser, but we'll bury him Bein Rishon Gemur, meaning he has violated the second Iser. So the Prima Gadim is taking the principle of Ein Iser Chalal Iser, applying it here to the case of Ein Nishbon Al Mitzvahs. And basically what we're saying is that the second Iser, or in this case the Shvur, will be Chal, just that we can't punish you for that because of the principle of ein nishbar al mitzvah, ein isachal isur. But as soon as we move the first isur, the male of the second isur is going to be chal. Where did the prima gadol get this from? How does he know that ein nishbar al mitzvah is just another application of the universal principle called ein isachal isur? So that, it turns out, is a tosus in the Sefer Shmuas, and this you'll see on the bottom of Kuf Nun Vav. If you go back to Kuf Nun Vav, all the way in the bottom right, you see letter Aleph.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so two lines before the end of the page, he quotes a Tosus in Shmuas. And Tosus in Shmuas says, Nirash HaKlal Ein Shmuas Chal Al Mitzvahs Losa Sehu Mitam, on the top of the left column, Mitam Di Ein Yisr Chal Yisr. So Tosus identifies Ein Shmuas Chal Al Losa Sehu, I mean, he took a Shmuas not to eat Nevela with Ein Yisr Chal Yisr. The Ramban, on the other hand, which you'll see somewhere, I forget exactly where it is on the page right now.
Kufin and Vav.
Yeah, but where? Is it in that, column? He quotes the Ramban?
In column on the bottom? Haramban Cholek?
Oh, yeah, excellent. Haramban Cholek al Balei HaTosfos. V'kosav v'melchemes Hashem sofer k'shuas shtayim. Shemekar adin. She'ein nishbon l'kaimes ha-mitzvahs who me'aposuk. It's the alfus in the Torah. Lo yachel dvoro. And the Gemara says in Masechet Nedarim that lo yachal dvoro avol miyachal hu lechefzei shamayim. But the bottom line here is, so we can get into the drash itself, is that there's a separate gzeiros hakosav according to the Ramban that generates this principle called einish boil mekayimus hamitzvus, because it's no longer considered included in bal yachal. And therefore, if there's a gzeiros hakosav, it means that the Torah is blocking the shvua. There's no shvua if it doesn't fit into this category of bal yachel. Here, it's not called bal yachel because it's considered he's being miyachel cheftzei shamayim. And if he's being miyachel cheftzei shamayim, then he doesn't add a bal yachel over here. It means according to Ramban, the shvua wasn't chal. So therefore, we go back to the sheet of the shach against the prima gadol, and that's here on Kuf Nun Zayin number Beis. And you'll see about Beis. So if you go down to Beis and you count down about 2-3 lines, a little bit more than that. He says Zeloshon Hashach Nire Dinafkemina Diafa Inad Leinin Cholish and Mutal Achilu Nevela Ain Tzarch LaHatir Shvoso. Now he became a Chol Nevuch. He's a lady to the Vela. So you would say, let the Shvua be Chal. No, he doesn't need to be Matir Shvua. In other words, the Shvua never got off the ground. According to the Shach, the Shvua was not Chal Meikaro. Let's identify the Shach with the Ramban, who says that there's Gzeiros HaKosuv. The Prima Gadim, on the other hand, is going to disagree, and he holds that Shvua La Mitzvah is considered part of the Klal of Ein Yisr Chal Yisr, where we say the Trei Isuri Rav Yaleh, both Isurim are hovering over him. And in this case, by the way, we're not only talking about Isur Chal Isur, we're talking about two different Isurim. They're totally different. There's Nevela and the Shvua. Happens to be an overlap, because he took a Shvua not to eat Nevela. So when he eats Nevela, he violates two different Isurim. Okay, we'll apply the principle of Ein Isur Chal Isur, but nevertheless, the second Isur is Rav Yaleh, it's around his neck. It's temporarily suspended as far as Onshim is concerned, but once he removes the first Isur, then the Shvua could be Chal. And he fleshes this out on Kuf Nun Zayin on the first paragraph in Nira, and he says, Lefi Balei HaTosfos, because they apply the principle of Ein Isur Chal al Isur, then it means when the Shvua is Chal on the Losas, it's not that it's not Chal, it's Ein Isur Chal Isur, which means that the second Isur is mitla toli v'koy, right? That's toli v'omed. As long as the first Isur is there, the second Isur will not be chal. But once you remove the first Isur, then the second Isur will be chal. Mashenki l'das ha-ramban, ein nishbon l'kayim sa-mitzvus yigzer sa-kosuf, einach shvua hashnia chala b'chlal. And therefore, even if the first shvua is paka, even if the Isur nevela is paka, nevertheless, the shvua itself will not be chal, and that's what the shach says, that there's no need in the case of the cholah to be matir the shvua. Okay, now he has another nafkemina. Oh, here's an interesting case. the man took the same shvuah time after time after time. For example, he said, shvuah shelo ochal hayom, shvuah shelo ochal hayom, shvuah shelo ochal hayom. Repeats himself thrice, the same identical shvuah. Oshom al kikar zu shvuah shelo ochlenu, shvuah shelo ochlenu, shvuah shelo ochlenu. What happens now? He went ahead and he was shoel on the first shvuah. So they were matir the first shvuah. So the halacha is, that's how the Rambam paskens in Perek Vav Milchus Shvuah, is that he's now chai for the second shvuah and the third shvuah. Then he was shoel on the second shvuah, so he's only chai for the third shvuah. Then the Rambam asks, what happens if he's shoel only on the third shvuah? So Rambam says that if he was shoel on the third shvuah, he's chai for the first shvuah and the second shvuah. The Ramban disagrees. The Ramban, quoted by the Lecha Mishnah in that place, says the following. He cannot be matir the third shvuah because he hasn't yet been matir the first and the second shvuah. Now we turn to page Kuf Nun Ches. He says the following. According to the sheet of the Rambam, the second shvuah is really chal, even before he was shoal the first shvuah. Hashvuah shnia adain kayemes. Ela de ain't onshin olaf. We can't punish him for the second shvuah. And now he went ahead and he was shoel the second shvuah. That she'ela is marked to the second shvuah because that shvuah is chal. Masha'en can according to the Ramban holds that the second shvuah is not chal at all. Again, we have to polish that up. But I'm saying the second shvuah is only chal. Okay, so here he applies the principle of Mafreya. I'm not sure exactly how this works, Daniel, so don't attack me because I realize that this needs a lot of polishing up. But he says that the second shvuah is chal if and when he's oker the first shvuah. And therefore, he cannot be shoel on the second shvuah because it's not yet chal. Again, you have to polish this up a little bit more because we just finished saying on the previous page that according to the Ramban, in a case where he takes a shvuah on a mitzvah, that shvuah doesn't even get off the ground. And if he's matir through chola, we're matir him to eat nevela, he doesn't even have to be shoel on the shvuah. Here we're saying that the second shvuah requires she'ela, but that she'ela could only be effective after he's shoel on the first shvuah.
My only question is, the Rambam, he's had the Zagiris of Kosov, was that Dafka where the first Issa was based on Issa in the Torah?
Right.
Because here this is not a case where the first Issa.
Yeah, that's exactly what I have to say. Okay. That there's a difference between a shvuah against the Torah, where the Torah says Bal Yachil, but not Chefzei Shamayim, and there the shvuah doesn't get off the ground. Here, we're not going to punish him for the second shvuah, because he already took that shvuah in the first round.
It's a chal elich and chal elisa.
Oh, so let's just think about this. So if we're going to apply the principle of Eidisa chalal isur, so then what happens is, yeah, but it's still not smooth. I'll tell you why, Daniel, because even if you say Eidisa chalal isur, the second isur is chal just to our own shim, so why can't it be shoel on that? So Ramban is saying he can't be shoel on the second shim until he's shoel on the first shim.
Yeah, because it doesn't kick in. It's not being bottled. It doesn't kick in.
It's like a half a shvuah.
The first one's gone away.
Right. It's like a half a shvuah. It's somewhere in the middle.
Yeah.
And it's far enough from being a full shvuah that he can't be shoel on the shvuah.
The Rambam is confusing. The other shit.
Right.
Easier.
Yeah. The Rambam is easier because the Rambam is saying that each shvuah is chal. Just we won't punish you for the shvuah. Therefore, you could be shoel on any one of the three shvuahs that you want in any order whatsoever. Okay, now, in the 5 or 10 minutes we have left, let's just talk about Kinyan Metaltalin according to Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Yochanan says, in the Sefer Bava Metzia, Mem Zayin Amud Beis, very famous, Dvar Torah, Moos Konos. For the Rabbanah made a Takana, Shem Yomar, Nisrufu, Chitech Baliyah, and they suspended the Kinyan Kesef, and they require Kinyan Meshicha, Kinyan Yad. So it's unbelievable. I was totally unaware of this. It's not clear that if he went ahead and he did a Kinyan Kesef, that Kinyan Kesef according to Rabbi Yochanan is null and void. Meaning, let's go through Achakir again. The intuitive way of saying this is the Rabbana made a Takana, and Hefker Bez and the Hefker, they can do whatever they want in Dini Mamas, and they completely suspended and negated and anything you want to say, a Kinyan Kesef. Meaning a Kinyan Kesef, min Rabbana, according to Rabbi Yochanan, is Gol Nishvet. But now, we're going to see, this is all based on a Baal Amar, that it's not so simple. That it could be the Rabbanon allowed the Mocher to acquire certain rights that will prevent the Lokeh from backing down the moment that he received the Kesef. So what happens is, I sell you Metaltalin, let's say I sell you Chitin, I'm the Mocher, and you give me Kesef. You haven't yet made a Kinyan Mashiach. So what's going on of you? Again, intuitively I would have told you, nothing happened. The Mocher can be Chozer Bo, the Lokeh can be Chozer Bo, and if the storehouse goes up, Chas Shom in flames, that's the Mocher's issue, nothing happened, right? So he has here a machlokus between the Rif and the Baal Amar, which is, that's the typical, you know, the Baal Amar wrote his critique on the Rif. The Rif writes in Bav Metzia that Shamir Minei, from this sugya of Rabbi Yochanan, Chachom Mafkia Torah's Kesef. There's no Torah's Kesef in Metaltalin, period. And therefore, if there was no Mashiach on the part of Lokeach, the itness, and some onus happened, and I guess, again, we'll see if I'm right in this, and it went up in smoke, is la mocher itness. The mocher has to suffer that loss. The islay lokeach lemeimer, and lokeach paid up already, tamely esmikhi, or at least give me back my mos. Comes along the Baal Amar, and he says, again, you have to see all his rights, but he says the following. Cave on the Kaimel on Dimina Torah Mos Konos. Rabbi Yochanan doesn't deny that Kesef is Chal on Metaltalin Midoraisa. Ein HaLokeach Yochel Lachzer Bo. Lokeach could not be Chozer Bo. Elokol's Machu Kayim. As long as the object is intact, then Lokeach could say, I never made a Mashiach, I'm out of here. But Im Nenas O Nevad, O Nisraf, the lesser Ba'olam, and Yochel Achzer Bo. Which is amazing. It means that the Mocher has the money, he's got the grub, he's got the cash. Lokech is ending up with nothing. Vahainu Damrinon, Matam Omer Mashiach Konig Zereshem Yomolos Nisraf Echelichi Tefalel, Vim Mukmis Leber Shusei Mosin Nafshe Vitorach. He says that according to the Baal Amar, even after the takana of Shema Yomru is Kinyan HaKesef Omeid Bimkoma, the Kinyan HaKesef is not completely nullified, and therefore Mibchinas alokeach, from the lokeach's perspective, is a kesef chal al yedei kesef chal akinyan. Like a mocher yochel l'scharet lifnei ha-mashicha. But if a mocher lo mischaret, ha-metaltalin shayachim lokeach. Is therefore if the things go up in smoke, the lokeach suffers the loss.
Yeah, but what if the mocher has to get if he's mischaret? So now where's the kesef here? The kesef,
how's it? No, he'd have to give back the kesef.
Well, what's mechayev to give it back?
Well, no, because he's mischarid on the kinyan itself. So I can't hold on to your money that was given me for a kinyan. But if I want to go through with the kinyan, then I can force you to accept my chitim. And you could say, oh, Berzon, I don't want these chitim. I can do better elsewhere. There's a sale on chitim down the line. I tough luck.
Well,
why? Because once I gave you the most, there's a Kinyan Kesef. No, the Rabbanan never were okay the Kinyan Kesef. So to what extent is the Kinyan Kesef nullified? Only to the extent that at this point the Mocher still has the right to back out. In other words, if we midat Torah, once the mocher accepts the maos, he's got to deliver the goods. He can't say to the lokeach, you know what? Take your maos and run. I'm not interested in the mech. That's on a deraisa. We would have said, and that's what the Rif says, that once the Rabbanan, according to Rabbi Yochanan, made this takana, and kesef is completely undermined, completely suspended, then if the mocher says to lokeach, you know what? If the mocher says to the lokeach, I want to cancel the kinyan, he has rights to do so. One second, I'm sorry. If the lokeach says to the mocher, I want out of this kinyan, give me my money back.
He can't.
Again, according to the Rif, let's go slow. There's the Rif and the Balamor. So the Rif says the lokeach has right to do so. Right, why? Because right. Nothing happened. Right. Garnish Kitrofen here, nothing happened. Why?
There's no such thing as a kinyan kesef.
Exactly, because we nullified the kinyan kesef.
Right.
It doesn't exist anymore. Right. Counsel in the Balamor says no, it's a one way street. As far as the mocher is concerned, he received the most. He has a right to how should I say, what word am I looking for? He's the boss. You know, he can tie in the kinyan. I'm looking for a phrase.
Yeah, yeah.
Anyway, so he can etch it in stone. And he has a right to say to the lokeach, here, take your maos. I'm sorry, take your chitim or fly a kite. Right? And therefore, the kinyan kesef is still very relevant. Because it gives the mocher the rights to force the lokeach to accept the kinyan. And it removes from lokeach his rights to be chosen.
But it could be that the Balamor is taking the kesef and now not using it as kesef, but he's using it as like a kinyan agav or something.
Oh, that I don't know. I'm just telling you what I know. I'm not learning the sugya.
Because otherwise, I don't understand the Balamor. They do the Balan Mahakar, the thing they're Mahakar.
So that's what he's saying. He's saying that I'm not sure if he's saying the Rabban don't have the power to be okay the kinyan. Maybe, I don't know if he's saying that because Hefker isn't Hefker. But that Father Rabbanan didn't go as far as the Dorais of most Konos. And therefore he says, Lokech eni yochel lachzor bo.
They put it into a very, very precarious situation there then.
I mean, the whole takana is in favor of the Mocher. It seems to defy logic almost. It's as if the Shoki was guilty of the big impression in those days.
In other words, you're saying the fun.
He made a gezeira to save the Mocher and the situations of a slave, whatever it is. But by doing this and leaving it.
So wait, do me a favor, read it inside. Maybe I'm not reading it right. Do you have it? Do me a favor, Alan, pass it off to Daniil. Again, I want to make sure I'm reading this right. You know, because again, I told you that this is really.
Where are we looking?
We're looking on Kuf Nun Tes. On the right side of the page, a paragraph that starts up Aleph. You saw the small Aleph. Okay. So let's read it together. Yesh machlokas rishona bekeshel nesiata efseid. Who suffers the loss? Be'es mechiras metaltalin. Kasher achefetz hu biyad hamocher v'nizok. Okay, ba'ones. Let's know. He has eidim that it happened ba'ones. Lifnei ha'mashich liachar shakesef. Kfar Shulam.
Okay.
So you have a case?
Yeah, right.
So the money was delivered, and all of a sudden, you know, there's an earthquake, and the chitin go up in smoke, whatever it is. So harif, sovish ha-mocher mafsid. Why? Because the kinyan was not chal. Ubalamor cholek. V'zeleshon harif. Again, the rif is heavy Aramaic here, so I don't know if I can translate every word. He says, Shamina miyachah, the kamadalo mashke lokeach, as long as the lokeach did not make a mashicha, was vinot on the chefza hanimkar, the itnas, and now went up in smoke through some lightning from Shamayim, is a mocher, la mocher itnas, and then the mocher has to suffer the loss.
Right.
The Israel Lokech Lemeimar, and the Lokech says, I want my money back, or replace the object. So far, so good.
Yeah.
You know, nobody has any objections here. But Vizel Shona Balamar, Vasagosa Valarif, Vili no Lirikain. This is the Balamar talking. He says, If Nenas O Nevad O Nisraf, again, you have to hear the word Ba'ones, I guess, right? The Lesa Ba'olam, and now the object is no longer in the world. And all the mocher has on his behalf, I mean, he's not able to deliver the goods, but he has the money. is kevan the kaimel and the mos konus midvar Torah. Eino yochel lachzor bo. Who's eino yochel lachzor? Who's the one who wants to break it?
Kaina.
Yeah. I again, the word kaina is not here, but I think you have to put it in. You know, there's no way, the other way you go. So when does when did they make this takana? Okay, Daniel, now we come back to your question. This takana was made as long as the object is still intact, right? The goods. So we want to know who's going to protect the goods. The mocher is going to turn the other way. You know, the tsunami is coming. What does he give a hoot? He's got his money.
Right.
Okay? But now what happens after the object is ready up in smoke? And we know it happened, again, you have to add that there were Edom or something to prove that it was through no fault of his own. It wasn't that he turned his back.
Yeah.
No one in the world could have saved these chitin, right? So he says in that case, the lokech takes the loss. Why? Because the mocher is holding on to the money. And that clinches the kinyan. The rabbanim weren't mafkia. The rabbanim were only mafkia the kinyan as long as the goods are still intact.
The Balamora is saying like this.
Yeah.
They're saying like this. The original takano was to protect the kohen.
Correct.
So now the kohen, what are you giving him the money for? What are you giving him the money for when you don't have any bailus over the thing? So in a way,
who's going to be totally negligent? Here, the mocher will be negligent.
That's right. What you are doing is you are being misarev the takana that they made for your favor. So if you do that already, then it's as if the kinyan occurred, but it's only on the mocher's choice what he wants to do, because the halacha remains with the mocher, but the kohen bears responsibility because he jumped the gun. He went beyond what the Chachamim said. The Chachamim said, "Don't give him the money because you have."
You want to say like you the opposite of Nafshi?
Right.
I didn't see it exactly that way. Maybe you're right. Well, I saw it a little differently. That as long as the goods are intact, we have to somehow motivate the mocher to protect those goods. And if he could run around and call the fire engines and put out the fire, that's what he has to do. What motivates him to do so? We're going to make a takana. We're going to say, if this goes up in smoke, you're going to have to replace it.
Right.
And don't tell me you're holding on to the money. That's not going to be an answer. But what happens, says the Balamor, if it already went up in smoke? So now the whole takana is meaningless. You can't blame the mocher for being negligent, or you can't motivate the mocher to protect the object. It went up in smoke. But onus. So now at this point, we have to go back to the Din Torah. And Midoraisa, the Torah recognizes the Kenyan Kesef. That's what I thought he was saying. V'ahayim d'amrinan, ma'atam omru m'shicha konik zereshem yomru lo nisrufu chitecha ba'aliyah. The mukvislei v'rshusei mosa nafshei, we try to motivate the mocher to do whatever he has to do to protect it. U'matzil, ki hechidi misrami le ravcha li heder bey.
So why is he in the couple of
behind the Tamini Gemara? Ikar Meshicha. Okay, so a lot of words here that I don't understand.
So why is the mocher in couple the kesef? What for?
What do you mean what for? First of all, he wants to put it in his bank and get interest from it.
But he was mocking the goods yet.
Well, yeah, but again, he can now force the hand, according to Balamar, he can force the hand of the lokeach to suffer any loss as long as he can prove that loss was bonus. In other words, if what's the lokeach going to say if it went up in smoke? Obviously, he's going to say, "Look, buddy, I paid you $1,000. You're not delivering the goods. I'm out of here. Either give me back the money or go cough up the goods."
Right.
Comes along the Balamar and he says, "Tough luck, Mr. Lokeach. You don't have any right to say such a thing. You pay the money. The Torah recognizes that kinyan, and those chitim which are sitting there in the reshus of the mocher, you haven't made a kinyan meshich on it. Those are your chitim. And if God sees it through his divine wisdom that you go up in smoke, you just took the loss." When did the Rabbana make this takana to protect the lokeach? That's when we're in that situation, that window of time, in which we can expect or hope that the mocher would do his best to prevent the sreifa, you know, to put out the fire. That only applies before the right? That's I'll show you where I see that. Where did I come up with this from? Because look at his language. He says, "Came unto Kaimel unto Mos Konos Minat Torah, Eino Yochel Lachzer Bo," meaning the Lokeach, "Ela Kolz Machu Kayam." While it's Kayam, we're going to say, well, the Kenyan is not Chal, because as long as it's Kayim, we're in real, Lokech is really in bad straits over here, because the Mocher is going to do absolutely nothing to protect his goods. The Kenyan is Chal, right? Because Min HaTorah Molas Konos. Why the Torah wasn't afraid of this, I don't know. But that's a different question. But once the object is completely gone, let's go back to the Iker Din Doraisa. So, B'li Neder Avos, I will try to, I see it's getting late. There's a lot more here. It turns out that he has a whole pilpul here in a Rashi, and he wants to say the Rashi holds like the Baal HaMor. The next piece, by the way, is also fascinating. Kid Levi the Rabbi, what would you say about the following? Always saying that since he's getting the higher onish, then the secondary onish is not, it is completely on the mark.
Disappears.
Completely disappears. It's an absolute negation.
Or is it just? Or is it just?
Well, just that you can't force you can't force the guy to pay up. So, for example, he burns down his friend's haystack on Shabbos, correct? Yeah. So now the law is that he's parted from tashlum. What does that mean? That's called kimler. Yeah. Always saying that. There is no chiv tashlum whatsoever. We're saying he's chayim in tashlum, but we're going to just beat the living daylights out of him, or maybe give him skila if he had edim asra, and therefore he doesn't have to pay off. But the chiv is there.
If you say that, okay.
And what concept Rav Moshe is going to be the nafkamina? I mean, you don't even have to be a rocket scientist.
Yorshim.
Well, maybe Yorshim. I could just, you know, straightforward without Yorshim. Tfisa.
Yeah.
Right. This is what they taught us all our years. You know, if you ever need a barometer to decide whether the chiyuv is there, just we can't force them to pay up, then what about tefisa? Like, for example, talk for Cohen, right?
Right.
So, ein motzi v'yodo, what happened over here? The Cohen has no right to say, well, it's a bechor, because maybe it's not a bechor. Most of them are right. The Cohen took the law into his own hands, and he grabbed it. Now the Cohen has a right to say to the Baal Bas, to the Israel, he says, you bring a riot that it's not a bechor, right? It's a ping pong ball, it goes back and forth. That's called tefisa. What is tefisa based on? Tefisa is based on the fact that we cannot implement the law. Why? Because in this case you have a suffix. Okay, but now you have to implement the law in the opposite direction because the Kohen grabbed onto it.
Yeah.
That's what we're saying in Kim Lev the Ramine. If Kim Lev the Ramine allows for tefisa, so this guy Nebuchadnezzar, who lost his whole haystack, he has a right to grab something from the Machal Shabbos, right? Why is that? Why is tefisa meaningful? Because basically the chiyuv was there. It wasn't completely null and void. It wasn't undermined.
Why can't you say this?
A very beautiful example of this chakira. Right. That's why I'm very excited about it.
Why can't you say the same thing by back again to the Machlokas, the Rif and the Baal HaMor? Why can't the Kona, why can't the Lokeach say, give me the chitim, I should make a hadban.
No, because the Torah recognizes the Kenyan. That's the Baal HaMor sheet. Now, once the Torah says Mos Konos, Lokeach is out. Again, if Lokeach would have been smart and he went to, you know, he went to his advisors, they would tell him, don't be an idiot, don't be a fool.
Don't give him
the money. You know, why are you giving him the money? You didn't get the chitim yet.
Right. So that goes.
Okay,
back.
So you know what the Lokeach will say to you? I wasn't so smart. Why? Because I didn't expect a tsunami. I thought that, you know, he's not a dishonest guy. Nobody's saying that the Mocher is a rabbi over here.
You still went with the Moshe Sadin. He'll give money before you get anything. He doesn't have anything at all. What if the Mocher says to him, oh, you had 40 million?
What? You mean who's has to prove that the balls were transferred, you mean?
Yeah, no. Yes.
So what?
Right, exactly. No, but I mean, now suppose the Mocher says that, I don't know you. I never saw you before. He's got the money now. Is it?
Maybe the Lokeach gets some sort of a shtar or something that he paid the money.
A shtar.
No, but that's not the issue. Again, the issue here is not whether he paid him the most. Nobody's arguing that he paid him the most. The Mocher is not lying to us. He's not lying about the fact that he was paid the most. Because I remember he wants to, in this case, verify the Kenyan and validate the Kenyan. He's not lying about the fact that there was an unforeseen disaster and that's why the chitim went up in smoke. All the facts are clear on the ground. The question is, who suffers the loss?
The Torah says,
Min HaTorah Dvar Torah Mos Kodos.
That's right. So
now, you may say the Rabbanah removed that, but look at the Torah law. On a Torah level, if the Rabbanah did not remove the Torah level, that's the Rif thing. That's all up.
Yeah,
again, you might say that the Lokeach was stupid for what he did, Why would you deliver the money before you got the goods? I don't know, Daniel, you know the work market. Are there people who deliver the money before they get the goods? There are people like that.
Many markets. Go back to your cardiologist. No, because you never did the operation before you got the money, right?
No,
hey, listen, Daniel, there are plenty of sukkahs in Shas where he'll know more than we'll know, because he's a real fan.
But
you could probably put, you know, a quarter of Shas at Rafur. But in Dini Mamonis, yeah, there are people who pay up before they deliver the goods. I'll be honest with you. I wouldn't be so excited about delivering the goods to you until I got the money.
So you can make it simultaneous. That's not a problem.
Maybe you could, maybe you can't. I don't know. In modern, again, I'm not, who am I talking? I don't know beans about anything.
Go online, pay by credit card, then we let you get your delivery.
Yeah, why should I? Alan, you're a good guy, but I'm not going to deliver you the goods until you pay the money. Yeah. I want the money in the bank before I'm going to deliver the goods.
They give you the example, and
the Torah validates that. Rabosai, the Torah validates that. The Torah says that if I'm the mocher, I have a right to say I want the most. But the lokeach would be well advised if he either simultaneous or whatever the case may be, but in modern, I don't know, in modern society, if you can get away with that as a
lokeach.
So the myth says, again, the Rabbanan fix this all up. They did away with the Kenyan balls,
but they didn't get away.
How's all the Palomar? Correct.
Yep.
So again, it's a beautiful example of this Hakira, and again, it has something to do with what we discussed about Yesh Kof Yad Chachamim, you know, how far did they go? For example, in the case of Tzitzis, with the Begachel Pishton, they went as far as to say, according to one day in the Eshkol,
right, that you don't.
That if you go ahead and wear Tzitzis Shel Tzemer on a Begachel Kalayim, on a Begachel Pishton, you're over on a Kalayim. You'll get Malkus. Right. You'll get Malkus Doraisa for that.
Sure.
Forget about the SAF Tzitzis. It's gone with the wind.
That's right. That's very good.
So you see the similarity between the Riff and that. I mean, the Ritva says it in a different way. The Ritva says that the second mitzvah is gone with the wind. Yeah, that I can hear.
Yeah.
But to say that the Rabbanan have the koach to take a mitzvah and poof, poof, it's gone.
Yeah.
Or, let's say, for example, Nishpan L'Kaimus HaMitzvahs. To say that the second Shavuah is not chal. Or, I should say, forget about the second Shavuah, I'm talking about the first Shavuah. A man takes a Shavuah, he was pushed by the only guy to see that. He takes a Shavuah, he's not going to eat the Vela. So I understand very well the Rabbanan is saying that that's not a Shavuah. You know, the other way of saying it is to say no. It's a shvur, but ain't isur chal alisa. You're only awesome because of the veil. But the second isur is chal. So I'm just saying, it's very interesting that if you take the, you know, you could line up a whole bunch of Rishonim and Achron, like the Drisha, for example, who's saying that you're osek b'tzarchei tzibur. There's no mitzvah tefillah at all, and therefore you don't have a chiyuv tashlum. You see, there's a certain pattern over here. That's
what I asked you.
If you train yourself, you don't know how this could be such a great tool. That's what I'm saying.
I give
Rabbi Adler a lot of credit. A lot of parts of this book, I'm not so thrilled about. You know, his language and sometimes.
He wasn't as big a masmir as he should have been.
I'm not coming to critique the book. You know, I honestly, he wrote this book when he was a pretty young man. I'd love to see him.
I stayed up all night reading that paper because it was so fascinating when I got it. Well, it was a lot of years ago, 50 years ago? No,
15?
No, 55-0.
What, this sefer is 50 years old?
I don't think so. Maybe 40, something like
that. Is it 40 years old? Maybe you're right. I don't know. It's hard to say. Let's see when it was published. I don't think it's 40 years old.
I remember being a pretty young guy when I did that.
He says 1989. How many years ago? Is that 90? 30.
That's 11 and 17 and 18 is 30 years. So it's
30 years. 30 years.
Yeah. 30 years
ago. It's a very long time ago.
Kimei Barabim today, I anticipate a svara from Chorus. Chorus, where We don't say kim nidra,
because karis is an onish b'dei shamayim.
That's right, maybe he's going to do shuvah, so you see that it's not bottled, it's not bottled, you don't apply bit.
Well, there may be differences by b'dei shamayim, maybe that's a different category. I have a quick question to ask you. It's not exactly the same, but it's also, it's a little befuddling to me. What if you went to the bathroom,
yeah,
and you were going to eat right after that?
Okay.
So you're going to have to make a share, you have to wash, you have to make a share yotzer, but you also have to wash for a motzi.
Yeah.
Do you wash only once or do you wash twice?
Well, I'm not sure what you mean, but I would say
the
following.
What I mean is like the
he may have to wash twice for a different reason, for a technical reason, because maybe he's not royal of bracha until he... But he's basically washing once.
No, that's what I meant. What I'm asking is, in other words...
He makes two brachas on one wash.
Should you wash and make a asher yasser, then wash again and make an aleph tefillah?
You mean and dry your hands in between?
Yeah, right.
No, why not? Why should you do this?
I'll tell you why. The cleric is thinking is because...